Reporter Gary Webb with speeches from the archives by Webb and fellow journalists Robert Parry and Martha Honey. At 11 on Between the Covers, we speak with journalist and author Alex Christie about her new book, Gutenberg's Apprentice, a novel based on the story of Gutenberg and his apprentice and the production of the Gutenberg Bible. And later in the hour, Don Merrill speaks with David Bronner, the president of Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps, about his company and his support for labeling products containing GMOs. But up next, it is Air Cascadia with Chris Andre, right here on KBOO Portland.
Tune in to Between the Covers every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear interviews with locally and nationally known authors from both fiction and nonfiction. Between the Covers, only on KBOO Portland.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, October 16th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Thanks again, everyone who made our fall membership drive so successful. And of course, welcome to the KBOO community. I'm out of breath. I had to run and get something very, very important because of our guest today, Ada Pecos Melton. She is a leading spokesperson on behalf of First Nations. She wrote a piece that I came across a couple days ago, Indigenous Justice Systems and Tribal Society. The text of this piece is extraordinary, but what really got my eye was there. She is very clearly, she's made an actual chart. You know, one of those things on one side it says American justice paradigm and then Indigenous justice paradigm. So you can just go down this simple, easy one-page document and compare. For example, American justice is vertical, Indigenous holistic. American communication is rehearsed, Indigenous communication is fluid. And so forth. It goes on. We're going to be speaking with Ada. She's traveling right now, talking about violence against women on reservations and how it affects indigenous tribal culture. And it does have a tremendous effect because of the dysfunctionality of life on the reservation imposed by the clash of cultures. We shouldn't be seeing that clash of cultures. White European cultures made life on the reservation a pretty miserable deal. It shouldn't be that way. Native Americans should have access to the wealth of their natural resources and their heritage and not be consigned to working in casinos. That is not the idea in the first place. So that's exactly what we're going to be speaking about. While we wait to get her on the line, just a few brief, we're going to get just touch on a few of the important headlines that have come up, washed over the transom during the night. This, of course, is the day that Coos Bay, the massive ordinance changes, will be voted on. There's a commission public hearing on the changes scheduled for 10 a.m. today, so that would be going on right now, even as we speak. And hopefully we'll have Jody McCaffrey on later on to talk about the results of that public hearing and what the likely vote will ultimately be on some of these changes, which do in fact, we live in Portland, but these do in fact affect all of us. We do go to the beach. We do go to the coast from time to time. And when we go there, we expect to see the ocean. We don't expect to see massive terminals puking out huge plumes of smoke all day and flaring gas all night. Ships standing offshore, getting ready to pretty much break up in the this coast's notoriously bad surf. So that said, we'll find out, I guess, a little later on whether the what the results of the hearing are and how they affect the vote. The Oregonian's Jeff Mapes may not be telling us anything we don't know about the Koch brothers and Oregon politics, but at least he is telling thousands of other people what they really need to know. A lot of people at KBOO are way up to speed on the Koch brothers' activities, but Mapes' audience might not be, and that is why this is of significance. Sometimes it isn't the story itself, but the media outlet where that gives voice to the story. A great many Oregonians have never heard of the Kochs and have no idea how much the brothers' money shapes Oregon's elections. So the nut of the story is, yeah, well, that is the story. Freedom Partners Action Fund, the Koch brothers group that has barraged Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley with attack ads and set up one of the most ridiculous opponent that we've seen in recent years in Oregon's election politics. So Merkley is battling it out with this Monica Webby, who has virtually no experience and whose words are so fluffy you could crush him with a marshmallow. But nonetheless, a ton of money is rolling into her campaign. There's also some big donors with Oregon connections. Robert Mercer, the New York hedge fund trader, spent more than $1 million so far trying to unseat Oregon Representative Pete DeFazio. He's the largest single donor to the Freedom Partners Action Fund. So that said, and there's plenty more to say on that topic, we're going to try to make sure that there's time when and if we get Ada Pecos Melton on the line. If not, well, we're going to talk still a little bit more about indigenous people's justice paradigms, what tribal justice looks like, why it is in such sharp contrast to the systems that we have today, which seem to do nothing but harm. It's almost as though our justice system, traveling from Europe to a new world, has mutated into a creature that's out of control and truly terrifying. But there is already here in place a system that is humane, it is constructive rather than destructive, it is non-adversarial, it's not... It emphasizes talk and discussion as opposed to argumentation. It reviews problems in its entirety. Well, we're going to leave that for her to speak about a little bit later. There's more news from DeSmog blog. here's the deal. How Putin became a central figure in the first ever vote to ban fracking in Texas. I can see the headline. That's right, you're not from Russia. Russia wants you anyway. On September 8th, the Texas State Regulatory Agency sent a letter to U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry suggesting that the U.S. anti-fracking activists, get this, are receiving funding from Russian President Vladimir Putin. That's right. We're all of us anti-fracking activists here have been funded by no less than Vladimir Putin. Oh, yes. Here's what Texas Railroad Commissioner David Porter wrote. He says, it's reasonable to assume, that their intention, that he means the Russian, their intention is to increase their market share of natural gas production and distribution as Russia is the second largest producer of natural gas in the world. Right. So Vladimir Putin is backing, he's backing the anti-fracking in order to increase Russian market share. This move by Texas coincides with the lead-up to an Election Day referendum on the state's first proposed citywide fracking ban to be held in the city of Denton on November 4th, Election Day. That's it. And continuing that thought on activism and the bizarre nature of American justice, once again the state is using another one of its shiny new patriot toys as a blunt object with which to bludgeon two young men into silence. Yesterday, a federal judge ruled that Kevin Olaf, who is one week away from completing a 30-month prison sentence for... get the possession of burglary tools. That's it. He had some bits and pieces in the trunk of his car, which police, when he was pulled over, decided out of the wild blue yonder were tools used for undertaking some kind of nefarious activities, notably releasing mink from a mink farm. So that's what they were charged with. And he did 30 months. That's a good stiff run for possession of burglary tools. So this judge yesterday ruled that Olaf must be locked up in federal custody until he stands trial for federal charges under, okay, and wait for it, this is the federal charges that we're looking at now, which wouldn't have existed before the Patriot Act. Maybe you and I don't notice the USA Patriot Act as it has infected our daily lives, but people like Kevin Olaf and other activists, people who are at particularly the animal liberation end of things, they have definitely noticed the USA Patriot Act because it has given rise is to odious pieces of legislation such as the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. You've heard of it, AETA, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. In other words, if activists do anything, and now if you take pictures, if you photograph factory farms, you can wind up with felony charges for that. That's a felony misdemeanor, I believe. But in any case, these guys were charged under the AETA. Kevin was arrested with Tyler Lang on August 14th of 2013. It was basically a simple traffic stop in rural Illinois. They shouldn't have searched his car in the first place. They had no reason to. Police did, in fact, search their vehicle and allegedly found these burglary tools, which amounted to basically... a ski mask and wire cutters. I probably have ski masks and wire cutters in the back of my truck. Tyler took a non-cooperating plea deal and is now free, but Kevin was given this 30-month sentence that I just mentioned, which he will complete next week on October 22nd, and now they're going to keep him in prison. Thanks a lot. That's the USA Patriot Act in action. And so that said, we are still working on, we've pretty much run out of time. We are going to be speaking at some point in time with Ada Pecos Melton. Until then, I can put that piece of hers on the KBOO website so that the listeners can review it. And she is an extraordinary and unique voice. She is has made very clear, laid out very simply and very clearly, the stark differences between our system of justice and the system of justice which has existed on the land that we live on right now, that we stole. This system of justice has been in place for thousands of years. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, October 16th, 2014. Rock Bergeron engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, part three of the Flashpoints multi-part tribute to Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, the late Gary Webb. Today we feature an historic 1998 KPFA event with Gary Webb and Martha Honey. That's part two of that event, and a speech by Robert Perry at the Midnight Special Bookshop in L.A. in 1996, right after Webb's Dark Alliance book was released. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, where we continue here with part three of our Flashpoints multi-part tribute to Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, the late Gary Webb. Today we feature in a historic 1998 KPFA event with Gary Webb and Martha Honey, and